Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It is 5 minutes past the hour, and it is my privilege to say that it is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. This is a program that between the television and the radio editions of this program that we have had the privilege to host for almost 30 years. It's a great program, and as recently, I want Dr. Varghese to hear me say this, as recently as just a couple of days ago, we had someone on that mentioned how Deborah Heart and Lung Center saved their life, literally saved their life, and it was a beautiful story, something that they could do that only a handful of places in the entire country are qualified to be able to do. It was an amazing story with Mayor Charles Kane's mom. It's been actually documented by Deborah very, very well. Dr. Vincent Varghese is here, an interventional cardiologist and also the director of interventional cardiology fellowship program at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. Dr. Varghese is an interventional cardiologist board certified in cardiovascular disease, interventional cardiology and vascular medicine. Dr. Varghese earned his medical degree and completed a residency in internal medicine at the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. He also completed a fellowship in cardiology, interventional cardiology, and endovascular medicine at Deborah Heart and Lung Center in Browns Mills, New Jersey. Special interests include structural heart disease, complex coronary intervention, peripheral arterial disease, which we'll be talking about this half hour, and venous disease. He has authored numerous articles in peer-reviewed medical journals, and it is a pleasure to welcome him back to his program, Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Dr. Varghese, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Hurley. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for those kind words.
Absolutely. It's my honor, my privilege. So we're going to be talking about leg pain, and we're going to be mentioning terms like peripheral arterial disease right up front. What is PAD?
So peripheral arterial disease, in its simplest forms, are really blockages in the arteries outside of the heart. So it can involve the carotid arteries in the neck, the kidney arteries, the aorta, even the leg arteries. Most commonly, it's involving the leg arteries. That's kind of what I'd like to focus on. But when you have a blockage in the leg arteries, that could be an issue for patients, which we'll talk about, typically meaning leg pain. And it raises the questions of why am I having leg pain and what can be done about it.
And who is at risk for PAD?
So the at-risk population we find are really the same patients who are at risk for heart attack and stroke. Primarily, it's people who smoke. And any amount of tobacco can be bad for you, but we see a lot of people that smoke, you know, half a pack, two packs a day for a couple years or many years. Those can be huge risk factors for developing blockages, diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, and even having a family history of early heart disease or leg disease. That can be a precursor for developing PAD.
We're visiting with Dr. Vincent Varghese, interventional cardiologist, and as I mentioned, the director of the fellowship program at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. Are there typical symptoms with PAD?
Yeah, the classical symptoms, which actually only happens in about one out of three patients, is leg discomfort described as a tightness in the calf or thighs while walking. And typically someone may walk like maybe two, three blocks and get this tightness in their calves, or maybe one calf. They stop, it gets better, it goes away, and they walk another two or three blocks and it happens again. So these reproducible symptoms are what we typically see. The other two-thirds of patients can have atypical symptoms, and those can just be leg achiness, leg pain, a soreness. Any of those symptoms can still be PAD, and we just need a little bit more testing and history to kind of figure out what the cause may be.
Diagnostic studies. What type of diagnostic studies can be done to confirm the presence of PAD?
Yeah, so we have a whole slew of tests we can do. The most basic, simplest tests are things called ABIs or ankle brachial indices, which are just blood pressure cuff testing of the legs to check how the blood flow is. And we get basically a blood pressure ratio to see what's normal and what's abnormal. We can do ultrasound of the legs, of the arteries and veins to look and see if there's blockages. And then there are CAT scans and MRIs and more invasive studies where we can do what's called an angiogram, where we actually enter into the arteries themselves with little catheters and wires and take pictures directly of the arteries to see what's going on. And sometimes with angiograms, if there's something going on and a blockage or narrowing, we can take care of that using different techniques to help restore blood flow to the leg.
The topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents is leg pain with Dr. Vincent Varghese. Now, we're going to get you on right now. The only thing we ask is that we stay on the topic of leg pain. It's just important that we do that. I'll refer you to the number and to the website as well if it's to inquire about other things that Deborah does. But let's stay on the topic of leg pain, and you can check in at 609-407-1450, and we'll go to your calls in just a little bit. 609-407-1450, your questions about leg pain. Doctor, in terms of PAD, is this a big problem nationally?
It is. It is. And it's a big problem because heart disease and stroke is such a huge problem in our country. Coronary disease, heart attacks is still the number one killer in our country. And the same patients that have coronary disease, heart disease, are the same patients who have peripheral arterial disease. So worldwide, you're talking about over 200 million people being affected. In the United States, it's somewhere around 8.5 to 10 million people being affected with peripheral arterial disease. So it is a real problem around the country for sure. And part of it is because we have such a large population with diabetes and smoking and all these risk factors that cause PAD.
What are the ramifications if someone listening right now is dealing with, maybe they're dealing with the classic symptoms, but suffering in silence, or if it's just ignored? What happens if PAD is left untreated?
Yeah, so the worst outcome would clearly be losing your leg and amputation, because this really has to do with blood flow, delivering oxygen and nutrients down to your legs and your feet and your toes. So we see patients that come in that kind of ignore the symptoms or just don't really get any treatment or workup. And when they come in, they may already have a toe that can't be saved, and we have to just amputate it and then save whatever we can. Or even worse, losing the whole leg above the knee amputation. So that's the extreme part of it. So that's why this conversation is important, to increase awareness and let people know if they're feeling symptoms to come and get evaluated quickly so that we can stop the whole progression of plaque. Other symptoms may still be just worsening leg pain when you're walking. If it becomes severe, you can also have leg pain when you're just sitting and resting. You can have leg pain. So all those are signs and symptoms. But the biggest worry we have, of course, is losing a leg, which can have huge effects on someone's quality of life. And once you have an amputation, your chances of developing actually further amputation up the leg goes up. Your chances of losing the other leg goes up. So you can imagine it's a big deal if you have advanced PAD and present late.
Breathtaking. Hold on. We're going to come right back. We take only one break during Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and we're going to take it right now. We'll come back in just a few minutes. If you have a question relative to leg pain with Dr. Vincent Varghese, he's here to take your questions at 609-407-1450 to make an appointment. Dial 609-293-3018. That's 609-293-3018. A reminder, also, the website is terrific. Anything you can do by calling and either getting involved with a staff person or going through initially the automated attendant, anything you can do on the phone, you can do directly through the website at demanddeborah.org. Hey, thanks very much. We are visiting with the distinguished doctor from Deborah Heart and Lung Center, Dr. Vincent Varghese, interventional cardiologist and the director of Interventional Cardiology Fellowship Program at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And we're talking leg pain this half hour, and we've been inviting you to check in, and now it is your turn to participate at 609-407-1450. Your questions for Dr. Varghese right now. Joining the program, you are on the air. Your question for Dr. Varghese.
Good morning, doctor. My name is Nick, and I smoked for 25 years, and I just stopped recently. And for like 2 weeks, I was falling asleep in a chair, with my feet on the floor, and my right leg between like my calf and my ankle. 4 years ago, it swelled up, and I soaked in Epsom salt and put alcohol in the water, and it went down. But it's doing it again, and I said, this has to be with, I know it's got something to do with smoking, so I stopped, and it's driving me nuts, but I don't want it to kill me. So I went to my primary care physician, and he scheduled an appointment to have an ultrasound of it. When I lift my foot up and down, I feel a tightness in my shin area. That's where it's sore, and there's discoloration in there. But whatever they find out, I still want to come and see you.
Sure, of course. No, thank you for the question. I'm happy to help you. First off, congratulations on stopping smoking. That's a huge, huge thing to do after 25 years, and it's not easy. We see patients that, I saw a gentleman the other day who said, I've been smoking, he was 60-something, he said, I've been smoking since I've been 12.
Wow.
So I can understand it's a difficult thing to stop. But, you know, your symptoms, certainly an exam would help and an ultrasound. Your symptoms, if it's swelling in the leg and discoloration, sometimes that can, the worst case scenario we worry about is development of a blood clot or a vein issue. Veins are a little different than arteries because arteries bring the blood down to the feet, but the veins bring blood from the feet back up to the heart, so opposite direction. But you can develop clots in the veins. You can develop sort of weakness in the vein wall, which can cause swelling and that discoloration. We see a lot of that. So that's something that would be examined with an ultrasound and a physical exam to see what's going on. And there are treatment options for vein issues as well. If it's a blood clot, of course, that's a serious deal. We want to put you on a blood thinner to make sure the clot doesn't leave and go to your lung. But if it's the vein weakness, we would just put, you know, a compression stocking on your leg and then talk about therapies we could do. But certainly with the history of smoking, like you said, you had 25 years, huge risk factor for developing PAD. You'd also check for PAD and make sure the artery flow is okay.
Okay, I'm going to, when I went to call, I missed the telephone number.
I was just going to give it to you, so here it is. 609-293-3018.
Thank you very much, Harry. Thank you, doctor.
Wishing you well. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Nice to talk to you.
Post it. Yes, sir. Thank you.
And we have a lot more content that we're going to share in the time that we have. We have about, we have till 35 minutes past the hour, so about 12 minutes with Dr. Varghese. But if you want to speak to the doctor, we love to take your phone calls as well, 609-407-1450. I almost hate floating this out there, because if somebody's dealing with symptoms and then Harry says to the great Dr. Varghese, could it just improve on its own? Just do nothing and maybe just like magically, fantastically, it can just go away on its own? Can symptoms improve on their own?
Not really. You have to do something. So the biggest thing we would always say, like, let's say we have someone who has PAD, but the symptoms are kind of not terrible, we would first try as best we can, changing risk, of course, so controlling the blood sugars if they're diabetic, controlling blood pressures, cholesterol numbers, starting medications like an aspirin or a cholesterol medication, and then smoking, of course, stopping smoking, and then implementing exercise programs as well, because exercise will actually recruit more arteries to be formed, and that will actually improve symptoms over time. So getting out and exercising is huge. Diet is a huge factor as well, because all of our diets can use some improvement. But if you adjust your diet, that will lower the risk of further plaque development. But exercising will actually help form more of these little arteries in the legs that can improve the symptoms and improve the blood flow to the foot.
To our great listeners of Deborah Heart Lung Center Presents, if you have a question for Dr. Vincent Varghese, interventional cardiologist, 609-407-1450. Phone lines are open for the next 10 minutes. for Dr. Varghese. Jim has a question for the good doctor. Jim, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Harry. Good morning, doctor. How you doing?
Good.
Really
good morning, sir. How are you?
Here. Well, pretty well. Thank you. So I've always been pretty diligent about working out, and then this COVID came, and I didn't get to the gym, and I got a little lazy, didn't do much, and then didn't play much golf. I was in Florida last week, and I played quite a bit of golf, and I've always gotten cramps. That's something I've dealt with, but it's usually potassium, maybe banana, it goes away. But these wouldn't go away. I mean, all night I had these cramps. And I got home, and if I arch my foot, I get these really bad cramps, even if they're not doing anything. And it takes a while for them to go away. I don't know whether that's a symptom or just a diet thing. I mean, I'm pretty well hydrated, I think. So I just didn't know, and I'm kind of concerned about it.
Yeah, thank you for your question. I mean, I think, if it's cramps at rest, usually it's not PAD. However, if they're persistent and you're hydrating and your potassium levels and magnesium levels are okay, then I think it would be worth looking at again, because, again, only about one-third of patients will have those classical calf tightness when I walk symptoms. The other two-thirds can be a whole bunch of other symptoms. So if they're persistent and if they're bothersome and painful, I definitely think it's worth a workup to make sure you're okay.
Okay, well, I'll let my doctor know. I'm going to see him next week. So thank you very much for that information.
Jim, thanks for checking in. Wish you well,
you're
my friend. Take care. If you have a question for Dr. Varghese, 609-407-1450, and he'll be here for about another 8 minutes. I knew this was going to happen. It's just every time we visit Dr. Varghese, you're just fantastic. It just flies by. This, I think, is a real important part of your program this morning, doctor, and that is to tell your listeners about the treatment options that are available for PAD.
Yeah, and we have a lot of options depending where the disease is and how extensive it is. But the good news is that nowadays we can offer a large number of our treatment options through minimally invasive techniques. So I spend my time in the catheterization lab, the heart catheterization lab at DeBoer Heart and Lung Center, where we do all sorts of procedures, including these leg procedures. And so we could go into the arteries by inserting kind of a small IV in the groin or the wrist, taking a look at what's going on with the legs, and then either cleaning out the arteries or ballooning them or stenting, detending, on what the disease process is and what level it's at, and get pretty good outcomes usually to help people feel better. We save limbs, we save toes. Mm. People feel better as far as their symptoms go. And it usually requires an overnight stay. The next day you can go home and pretty much get back to your activity in a couple days. So the recovery period's nice, and patients recover well. We have a full clinic service and diagnostic service where, we like to kind of take care of patients from A to Z. So a patient would come in the morning and get some testing. Then I would sit down with them and go over the results and then make a plan from there and then follow up after if they need a procedure, follow up afterwards to see how they're doing. And it's something we would continue to follow over time with periodic ultrasounds and checking up on them and making sure things are okay, optimizing medications, controlling their risk. That's kind of the whole treatment option plan we have.
Dr. Varghese, Jim, your last caller brought up how COVID-19 affected, and you dealt with this for the whole past year. There were people not going to appointments that they should go to and regular screenings and all kinds of different areas, women not having screenings, men, and all these different things. I'm going to bring COVID into this in a different respect. Is it dangerous for someone who has peripheral arterial disease and then they catch COVID-19? Because we have heard things such as blood clots and things like that. I guess as a layperson, it would seem to me PAD and COVID-19 are not a perfect match, I would think. What are your thoughts about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely correct. They're not a good match at all. And again, mainly it's not necessarily having PAD, but again, because the patients that have PAD typically have issues like lung disease, smoking, heart disease. They're kind of the sicker population. Those patients are not going to do really well if they get COVID. Those are the higher risk patients that, can die from COVID. and the development of blood clots is clearly been shown to be related to COVID. So it, although it's a rare occurrence, we've definitely had patients that came into the hospital with COVID and they have a blood clot in their lung or a blood clot in their coronary artery. So there's definitely a correlation, and they come in really sick. So clearly treating COVID seriously and taking the appropriate precautions, getting vaccinated is really important. And then again, controlling your other risk factors for developing PAD.
How can folks lower their risk? I think that's something that everybody would love to hear. What can we do to be proactive to try to not get it in the first place, to stave it off or not even come close to getting it in the first place? How do we do that?
Yeah, well, the good news is that it's some stuff that we already know. It's the stuff that we always talk about to lower your risk of heart attack and lower your risk of stroke. It's number one, starting off with diet. Diet's probably the most effective way of lowering things like your cholesterol and blood pressure, lowering your risk of diabetes. So adjusting your diet, we usually recommend something like a modified Mediterranean diet, which you can look up online and could be a good starting point to figure out how you can adjust your diet. And then controlling risk, stopping smoking, number one modifiable risk factor you can do. Best thing you can do is stopping smoking. And that'll lower your risk significantly. And then seeing your doctor, making sure your numbers are okay, exercising, really important as well. All those things together will lower your risk of getting heart disease, lowering your risk of getting PAD. If you have an early family history of heart disease or stroke, that's something that we need to, you know, you need to see your doctor early on and try to get these numbers teased out, like your cholesterol numbers. If they're really high, you're young, you probably need to start something on your like a medication to help control that, because it's not about what you're eating or what you're doing. It's genetic. It's in your body. It's in your genetics. So that's something to modify to kind of halt the progression of plaque building up in the arteries.
I was just going to touch on, does heredity play a role with PAD? And you pretty much just answered that, didn't you?
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does.
So that's important for folks to know. So you could do... I know folks, and you know them too. They exercise, they eat well, they do all kinds of, you know, good practices, and just in their DNA, their heredity, familial, it just is something that is in their family, and then it's even more important to do good practices, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have a good friend of mine who he had a heart attack at a pretty young age in his 40s and 50s, and so I'm seeing his kids now, and his kids also, you know, I just happened to check some testing because he was so young when he had a problem, and, you know, his kids have high cholesterol levels also, and it's, they're in great shape. They're young guys in their 20s. So, you know, there is a familial component to it, and treatment is the biggest thing, because if you leave these cholesterol numbers untreated for, you know, decades, that's when the plaque will build up, and that's when you start getting heart attacks at a young age.
Dr. Varghese, my final question, and of course anything you want to close with, the time will be yours if you want to give a final comment at the end. Why is Deborah Heart and Lung Center the best place to go for the diagnosis and the management of PAD in your estimation?
I think we have a lot of experience. This is all we do. We treat the vascular system, so we have a lot of experience in treating pretty advanced PAD. We've treated patients that have been kind of relegated to just do the best you can from other medical centers, just live with the pain, and we've had good success with patients. We have all the latest technology also, which is benefiting our patients, the number of clinical trials going on to kind of get the latest and greatest technology also for our patients. So I think it's a benefit because we're a full service program. We can provide service from the patient beginning to the end, and we love what we do. You know, I would also say that, you know, we have a website also up aside from the Demand Deborah website. We also have another site called under mypadscore.org, and that is simply just a test online for people. If you think you're having symptoms, it's a simple questionnaire, and it would give you a risk and tell you you're low risk or immediate or high risk for developing PAD or having PAD. Maybe we're checking out to see if you need to get evaluated. MyPADScore.org.
I just bookmarked that. I'm so happy, Dr. Varghese, that you just shared that, because that's a great item, and I'll continue even after today's program to share that with our listeners so that they know about that. I think that is a very valuable resource. I know this is like almost Captain Obvious, but as we say goodbye, early detection, I've never heard early detection ever be a bad thing in the medical world. Early detection is a big deal here as well, isn't it? Dealing with it at an early juncture rather than something far more advanced.
Yeah, it's always better to know ahead of time so we can kind of tailor how aggressive we want to be, because cholesterol numbers, for example, you know, a healthy person, their cholesterol level, we may not have to get that down so low. We may just say do some diet or exercise, but someone with PAD or someone with heart disease, we have a very specific target for them with their cholesterol. If they can't get it down on their own, we're definitely going to try different ways with medication to get it down there to again, lower the risk of progression of this plaque and blockage. So really important to get early notice. And again, also the fact that you may have mild PAD, maybe if it's not causing symptoms, the fact that you have that, again, predisposes you to developing heart attack or stroke in the future. So it would change how we manage you, because if you have PAD, we put you in the highest level of risk, and that automatically triggers us to control your risk factors or your risk of heart attack and stroke.
I'm going to stretch this only because I'm so anxious to hear you answer it for our listeners. If you have PAD, do you always have PAD, or can PAD be cured, or is it treated?
Right now, it's treated. Once you have it, you have it. But the trick is, if you have it, a lot of people are asymptomatic or just have minimal symptoms. The trick is stopping it, you know, and not letting it progress. So that's where treatment, medication, diet, exercise plays a big role, because we don't want it to progress. Again, we talked about all the way to things like amputation, losing toes and legs.
Yeah.
We don't want it to go there. So best thing to do is detect it early and stop it from changing your habits.
Thank you so much for your time and expertise. I always enjoy our time together. Dr. Vincent Varghese, interventional cardiologist, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. To make an appointment, you can call 609-293-3018, or you can make the appointment as well on the website demanddeborah.org. And a reminder, you should bookmark this. I already did put it on my home screen on my iPhone, but I'm going to bookmark it on my laptop and desktop, mypadscore.org. Dr. Varghese, and thank you for a couple minutes extra, too. You're a great doctor. Thank you for your time and attention today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Charlotte. Thank you for the time.
You're welcome, sir. Be well.